Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Going on now at Guitar Center, get a free gift card with the purchase of select guitars, keys, and drum kits. Grab the gear you need to make music and use the free gift card to outfit your rig with your favorite accessories and add-ons. Purchase select acoustic or electric guitars over $399 and get a $40 gift card. Or purchase select acoustic or electric drum kits or keyboards over $299 and get a $30 gift card. Guitar Center's free with purchase event going on now, in-store and online. Offer valid for regularly priced items only. See store for details. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Wagner and Winnick on the Law. For the next hour, Monterey College of Law's Dean Mitchell Winnick and Law Professor Stephen Wagner will discuss current legal events and public policy issues that are affecting our daily lives. They will not provide individual legal advice. If you have a specific legal problem, you're encouraged to contact a lawyer for legal assistance. If you do not have a lawyer, contact the local bar association or lawyer referral service in your community for recommendations. And now, here's Wagner and Winnick on the Law.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Wagner and Winnick on the Law. I am San Luis Obispo College of Law professor and trial attorney Stephen Wagner, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Dean and President of San Luis Obispo College of Law and Monterey College of Law, Mitchell Winnick. Mitch, good day to you.
Good day back to you, Stephen, and it's a great day here. You know, I just talked with one of our colleagues who's been on the show before, Greg Brandis. He's in Colorado, and he was digging through the snow, if you can imagine that.
That's amazing.
And he said it must be a little prettier here. And of course, since we're broadcasting out of California, I brag a lot about, well, it was only about 65 sunny and not a cloud in the sky. His response, I can't say on the air.
I was about to say, can you go public with his response?
I cannot.
Right. I don't know
cannot.
If he was digging. I think it was mild shoveling, but that's all right.
Anyway, well, we have another exciting thing to announce today. This show will be our inaugural show on voiceamerica.com. We're here locally on KSCO, our local AM radio station. We have been on biztalkradio.com now for several months, which is our, as they say, terrestrial radio network. And we are now going international with voiceamerica.com.
Bravo. Congratulations to you.
And congratulations back to you. Exactly.
It has been a team effort. No, it's great. The expansion is really great, and we're quite happy and proud. And we hope that this will really lead to greater things and greater expectations.
That's right. And that means still that people can contact us at comments at wagnerandwinnick.com. And we will respond to those questions, comments, on the next show.
That's great. Hey, it's tax season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you file? Should I ask? Have you filed yours yet?
You know,
I mean, it's only due Monday.
I knew that you were going to ask me that, right? And I'm going to. Can I assert a privilege?
Well, I think you have your lawyer here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well. So.
And that's not me. I want to make that clear.
So what I wanted to say was it's income tax season,
it
actually.
Okay.
And take this opportunity to introduce our guest today.
Because okay.
We are going to take on the topic of taxes. And of course, I called it tax season because the obligation to file taxes is upon us. And I believe that would be Monday the 18th.
That's right. And when this comes out on voiceamerica.com on our new Thursday slot, if they're hearing this and they go, really? That's not good.
That's
they will
good.
Have missed it, and we're going to talk about what they will do then.
That's a good warning. So here's what I would like to do, and I want to bring in our guest because we're really fortunate today to have Bill Purdy. Bill is a partner in the law office of Simmons & Purdy. The firm is located here in Santa Cruz County in Soquel, and Bill's practice is concentrated in areas of mortgage-related problems and taxation. He has been assisting homeowners with mortgage-related problems for 10 years. He has been a tax attorney for more than 30 years. He has a master's in taxation from New York University School of Law. But I think the most important accolade that Bill has on his resume is that he put up with me as a student in his tax class. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, so Bill, does anybody like having a tax attorney? I guess if they're in an emergency. No, I'll let you just say, does anybody like their tax attorney?
I would classify them pretty much as I would criminal defense attorneys. They either love you because you helped them, or they don't feel you did anything for them because they had to pay a tax they didn't want to.
So we have
our detractors, and we have people who send us cards and letters.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that necessary evil topic because I don't think we can get away from it. But in the lead-in, you know, Bill, I was talking about this idea of income tax, and I know this is right in your wheelhouse. And let's start with just the basic. Income. There's got to be a definition for income.
Well, there are several. Unfortunately, what comes out of the courts, particularly the U.S. Supreme Court, are generally legalistic definitions are pretty much unhelpful. They talk about things like undeniable accessions to wealth, which is in itself a mouthful. Doesn't necessarily help you.
Wait a minute. An undeniable accession to wealth.
Yeah. Let's break that down.
I would like some of that. What would that be? How would I know it if I had it?
Well, you know, the odd thing is that you take that at face value. You would assume that when someone passes away and leaves you a very large amount of money by will, that money, when you received it, would be an undeniable accession to wealth. You had that money. Only by virtue of someone dying and leaving it to you. That the Internal Revenue Code pretty clearly says that is not income taxable.
All right, well, that's counterintuitive.
Yes,
who would have guessed that something in the tax code might be counterintuitive?
Another thing that is an anomaly about just looking at that definition is that you can borrow $1 million. You can borrow $1 billion, assuming that you can qualify to get it, and you can put that cash on the floor and roll around on it, and you can spend it. And it is not income taxable because you have an obligation to repay it.
So the obligation to repay it takes it out of the definition of accession to...
An undeniable accession to wealth immediately. However, I always tell people, because this has bitten millions of people in the last 5 years, if you borrow money, it is not income because you have to repay it. But if under certain circumstances later you do not have to repay the money you borrowed, it becomes income at that time.
So I have actually seen this happen with students who had private student loans. If that loan has subsequently forgiven, you know, they think, hoorah, now they've got all of this money they don't have to repay. But as you're saying, at that point in time, there'll be scenarios in which that is now income at that year.
It absolutely can be, which of course sounds wonderful, except that many of the circumstances under which a loan is forgiven, there is no corresponding cash available at that time with which to pay the tax. Now, the one thing you can always say about that particular situation is that the tax you will pay is certainly far less than having to repay the debt itself, because it is a function of that amount. However, it can be devastating, and in the area that has ensnared and been the demise of many people's finances has been when their homes have been foreclosed upon. And due
I
to
remember
the
when all that was happening during the mortgage foreclosure crisis, and people were very happy that they could renegotiate arrangements. But as you're saying, some of those arrangements triggered a tax debt.
Well, if the loans were forgiven, there is the potential for them to have to pay tax. Now, there are exceptions even then to having to pay the tax on forgiven income, and the problem is there were many problems with it. But this type of income, the exceptions, you have to very carefully look at them. You need to see a professional tax advisor immediately. This is not something you do on your own tax return.
So you just tripped the wire on a topic that we want to expand upon. We are coming up on a break, but this idea of the short sale phenomena and the idea of... relation of forgiveness and what listeners need to know and the role of the CPA and a little bit more about your practice. Maybe you get a chance to talk about it a little bit, Bill, before I get the music in my ear for a break. But essentially, what is it that you do in regard to debt forgiveness?
And what's the difference between, well, that and even more important, the difference between a CPA and a tax attorney?
Sure.
And that's
one has an
confusing.
Excellent sense of humor and the other does not.
Yeah, so we...
the first thing I would
I've had a couple of CPAs. I suspect that's not the category you're talking about.
We don't do humors on the back of their card, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The first thing I would say to anybody that's looking at these issues is for them to undertake this themselves is like taking a rubber knife to a gunfight. This is absolutely a situation if you're looking at significant debt relief due to a short sale or a foreclosure or basically any situation where a loan is being forgiven, you need to get a professional involved immediately. It doesn't have to necessarily be an attorney. There are many CPAs that are versed in this. Unfortunately, there are many who are not. The reason that they're not is not anything other than the fact that that particular type of problem, in other words, having a mortgage forgiven or having not so much forgiven as the mortgage, the lender unable to collect the debt, which was what the laws of the state caused to happen, that hasn't happened to large numbers of people since the Great Depression. And so there hasn't been huge amounts of people giving up homes under circumstances where the lenders were prevented by law from collecting the money after the foreclosure or the short sale.
All right, hold that thought. We'll pick back up on that topic when we get. You're listening to Wagner and Winnick on the Law on the BizTalk Radio Network. Our topic today is taxes, and our guest is attorney Bill Purdy. We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
Deciding to go to law school brings up questions like, can I afford it? Will I be prepared to take the leap and open my own office when I graduate? I'm Wendy Law Revere, Dean of Admissions at Monterey College of Law. Have you ever dreamed of being a lawyer? We at Monterey College of Law can help make that dream come true with professors who are practicing attorneys and judges. They mentor our graduates. But don't take it from me. Hear what recent graduate Creighton Mandeville says.
I wasn't crippled in debt coming out of Monterey College of Law. I came out of it with no debt. I was able to do some working during that time and some savings, so I exited law school with no debt. I did feel prepared coming out of law school. I started helping friends with the issues that came up for them, and Monterey College of Law has so many great faculties and things that there were resources for me.
There's never been a better time to become a lawyer. Call us today at 582-4000. That's 582-4000. Or visit us online at montereylaw.edu. That's montereylaw.edu. Applying to Monterey College of Law is not hard, and we have a financial plan and class schedule that is tailored to meet your needs. I'm Wendy Law Revere, Dean of Admissions at Monterey College of Law. Have you ever dreamed of being a lawyer? We at Monterey College of Law can help make that dream come true without crippling you with debt on graduation day.
I chose Monterey College of Law because I wanted to continue working during the day. I had children at home, and I wanted to be able to go to school at night where it wouldn't impact what my children needed from me.
There really is not crippling debt that you face afterwards. Monterey College of Law has a payment plan which is manageable, and they work with you. The other huge benefit of Monterey College of Law is that the professors are judges and lawyers. By taking their classes, you really actually start networking. So I was very fortunate because I also ended up with a mentor.
There's never been a better time to become a lawyer. Call us today at 582-4000 or visit us online at montereylaw.edu.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Wagner and Winnick on the Law. If you're just joining us, our topic today is, all together now, Mitch?
Taxes.
All right. Got to talk about it. Tis the season, and our guest is attorney Bill Purdy, and Bill practices in Soquel here in Santa Cruz County, and he has a master's in taxation, and he is a professor at Lincoln Law School of San Jose. Bill, let's address this issue of how people react to taxes.
We kind of talked about why'd you get into it and what is it like, but yeah, Stephen's right.
Fear factor.
What is it like having people come in your office?
I will say across the board, it is my conclusion after 30 years of this, that the entire subject does not engender rational behavior from the people that encounter it, whether they're politicians that are proposing things, whether they are the average person who has to confront various tax issues, to when they get into a genuine situation like they're being audited or they haven't filed their taxes for whatever reason, they got sick, they had a divorce, they got depressed. Their behavior across the board, pretty much regardless of socioeconomic status or education, is to some extent not rational.
That's kind of an amazing reaction. Yet I have sensed that. I mean, I went through an audit a number of years ago. I had a consulting practice, and I had this tiny little practice. I had a client that failed to file work that I finished in December in that year. I paid the taxes that year. They sent the paperwork in January in the next year for the next one. And so the next year, it triggered an audit for work that I had paid taxes on the prior year. And I went through the seven stages of everything you just described: disbelief, anger, grief.
And I think the thing that is most palpable that you see across the board, whether the person comes in as an attorney, a doctor, if they are a policeman, it doesn't really matter, is fear.
Yeah, there socioeconomic issue, and you're addressing that, I think is important, because the reaction, it sounds like you're saying, is across the board, it tends to be consistent. There is there's a bit of a fear factor. Would you agree?
Sometimes blindingly so. I've had clients that when I told them this is what we're going to do and it's going to fix it, they were so fearful that either sometimes they didn't come in, but usually what would happen is right to the end, to the point where it actually was totally fixed, they were convinced either I'm going to be arrested, this isn't going to turn out this way, they're going to take my car, they're going to take my house, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And it was almost impossible to convince them that it was not going to occur.
Let me jump in one time on this, and your reference to they. I did a word count, and you gave me at least five theys there. And what I wanted to address is this David versus Goliath kind of idea and dealing with the IRS. What can you share with our listeners in terms of the ability to deal with the IRS? And I think what you might agree is the value of preemptive moves.
Absolutely. The first thing that every person who hears this should understand is never, ever do nothing. I know that's
and
a double negative.
And that's probably driven by that fear factor you just talked about. So they're frozen in fear. They're afraid what they're going to find out. So they let it carry on, and then they show up in your office.
Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. It is axiomatic, we pretty much expect it, that a person will come in and they will have multiple certified letters from the Internal Revenue Service that are still unopened, and they may go back years.
Mm-hmm. They won't open the letter.
They won't open it to look. And I said, do you realize that, you know, many times this could have been fixed by simply opening it and responding? Never, ever do nothing. If you're contacted by the Internal Revenue Service, make contact and respond. It's the critical thing I see is that people are so afraid or so unsure that they don't respond. Now, depending on what it is, the other thing I would tell people, because this will dispel fear right away, is get a tax professional involved. You don't need, per se, to have a tax attorney, but let's take that example of the audit you were talking about. The thing I always tell people, with very few exceptions, is you shouldn't go to your own audit if you can help it. You should have typically a CPA should handle that, and it should be one that has handled IRS audits many times, and there are significant numbers of very high-quality CPAs who do that.
Let me jump in here on just one quick thing, a little bit of side note. But I have had no less than 6 scam calls in the last 3 months that people that start out by saying, this is the IRS, you have a serious problem, and you will be arrested unless you call back the following number. And I am sure they are preying on the elderly and feeding into that fear factor. But I suspect you're going to tell us that the IRS doesn't initiate calls that way.
They don't do anything that way. They never have. They even have recordings now when you call into the IRS saying, if you get a recording that sounds exactly as you described it, it's not from us. I began literally screaming about this about a year ago when it wasn't as common, sending unpleasant voicemail messages to the FBI, leaving them with the IRS. You know, this is going on. Oh, by the way, they're stealing your money.
Right.
Does it matter to you that they are? But it is, the fear is so great. I had an elderly gentleman come in, gave me this. His hands are shaking as he tells me about it. I said, sir, it's a scam. You are safe. It's fine. And he gives me the phone number and says, will you please call them because I want to be sure.
Yeah, that
you can't make this up.
That was a valuable public service announcement right there.
It's infuriating.
Good.
I've recorded a couple of them and talked with the district attorney's office. And, you know, they file it. They send it in. But
they're overseas.
But they're overseas. It's exactly what they said. These people are overseas. You'd think that there's a phone number you call back, that there'd be a way to track it back, and
there
it's
isn't.
Not.
It's all spoofed.
It is.
I will tell you that responding to the IRS, by the time the IRS is calling you, actually calling you, and they do call eventually, that will be typically a revenue officer, you will have ignored anywhere from 25 to 50 written correspondence. And at some point, if you haven't paid your taxes, they will typically assign a revenue officer if the tax amount is large enough. This is a very relatively unusual procedure. Most people can handle the things they need to by looking at their correspondence and responding and or getting a tax professional involved.
You said that a number of times. It's going to be in writing.
Yep.
And there's going to be that IRS logo on the left side with the little bird-like eagle. Well, I guess not bird-like. It's an eagle.
Yeah.
And you're going to know it's from the IRS.
So we've talked about audits. Let's go back to audits a little bit, because Mitch and I had talked about including audits as part of our discussion. And we try to avoid specific legal advice, obviously, in our program. But to the extent that you can talk about red flag issues, what would get the IRS's attention in terms of audits? Is there any rhyme,
Absolutely.
Reason to how they do it?
There are. And if I could tell you what the things were that triggered every audit there was, I would be living on an island and people would paddle out and burn incense. But I can tell you some that absolutely do. One of them is the home office deduction.
Sure.
It is a large pulsating neon sign that says, please audit me. The reason is most people don't do that correctly. The IRS knows they don't, and so it's very fertile.
All right. When we come back, we'll pick up with our conversation with our guest, Attorney Bill Purdy. Our topic today is taxes. Tis the season, so we're talking about various aspects of taxation law. You're listening to us on the BizTalk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short break.
I'm Dr. Harry Anderson.
And I'm Penny Gilley.
I've been helping you with your nutritional needs for over 44 years. Now I want to introduce you to my wellness formula for yourself that will help you have more energy, alertness, and focus.
Plus, it's all natural. Try Total People Plus today and see for yourself. Go to PennyGilley.com. Learn, relax, focus, exhale. Total People Plus.
Let 2016 be the year you take care of yourself. All natural, caffeine and gluten-free, $35 for 180 capsules. Recommending 4 per day will last 6 weeks. For a limited time, get free shipping by mentioning promo code PENNY. To order, call 817-470-4653 or go to PennyGilley.com. That's 817-470-4653 or PennyGilley.com. Order today.
Home burglaries happen during the day when you're not there. Someone could be at your house right now, ringing your doorbell to see if you're home. And as soon as they know you're not, they break in. This is how 95% of break-ins occur. Hi, I'm Jamie Siminoff, inventor of the Ring Video Doorbell. I invented Ring so you can see and speak with anyone at your door using your smartphone. So would-be burglars think you're always home, even when you're not. And when someone approaches your home, Ring's advanced motion detection alerts you, giving you full monitoring of your property. Installing Ring takes just minutes, and its dual-powered design will work with your old doorbell wires or the built-in rechargeable battery. Time Magazine and USA Today named Ring a top 10 gadget, and at under $200, Ring is the smartest way to protect and monitor your house.
Go to ring.com/safety for free FedEx shipping. That's ring.com/safety. With Ring, you're always home. Order yours today at ring.com/safety.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices, a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Wagner and Winnick on the Law. You're listening to us on the BizTalk Radio Network, and we're talking today about taxes, tax laws, and our guest is attorney Bill Purdy. And Bill, before the break, we were talking about the home office deduction as one of the potential red flags that could trigger an audit, but there's more to it. There's other red flags.
A couple other general ones that you can pretty much, if you look, you'll see that the IRS is active in this area. One of them is where there is a very significant increase in your income from one year, from a prior year to the current year, but there's no significant increase in the tax, or it actually is a decrease in the amount of tax you've paid. The IRS has percentages that they use, and these are computerized. This isn't being done by human beings. These returns go in. There's an automatic comparison that's done. They look and see, what did they make before? What did they make? Oh, they made a lot more now? Well, wait a minute. They're not paying significantly more tax this year. Why is that?
I want to pick up on that just a second. So the first run-through of all of our tax returns is a computerized assessment by certain metrics?
It is absolutely done by computer. It is a significant way down the process before a human being ever looks at it.
No, well, I don't think most people realize that. I didn't realize that.
You figure because of the numbers of returns and what has to be done, which you've got to compare. And this is exactly the type of thing a machine can be programmed to do, which a person having to manually do would be incredibly difficult.
Yeah. So I guess at the simplest level, it makes it really important to do your math correctly.
Absolutely.
Because the machine will pick up any math error, and there's not going to be a human saying, oh, obviously they just transposed those two numbers. I see it's not really a problem. The machine's not going to see that.
And there is review within the service when they do get kicked by a machine. They'll have a reviewer that takes that next look and says, at some point, someone goes, okay, this one needs to keep going. We need to look at it. This one, I can see why it happened. But it is, in the first instance, this is largely mechanized. Now, the third major area, and people should understand this, is that audits are much more likely at high dollar amounts. Where people are making very large amounts of income, they are more likely to be audited by far than if they are not.
Okay, now, so the myth I was going to go ahead. No, go ahead.
You got it, because that was our next segment.
Well, I was going to say, the myth I've always heard is it's easier for them to pick on the little guy because the big guys have somebody like you in their corner, and they're going to have to fight with you for 3 years to get a settlement. So why not slam the little guy who doesn't know any better?
I will tell you that I know so-called big guys that have been audited year after year after year after year.
I think one of them's running for president.
Well, I can
at least that's his claim.
Tell you that my father was audited, you know, for many, many years, and he ran a business, a good-sized business. But it's not unusual for people that are making large amounts of money, especially if they have multiple companies or whatever, to be audited periodically. And
let me ask you about that myth then.
That.
You get one audit and it puts you on a hot list that you're almost automatically going to get another one and another one and another one.
The indelible audit list.
Right. That's right.
I hate to say this because it's such an attorney-sounding statement, but it depends. It depends on what you got audited for. It depends on what they found.
You know, Bill, I've learned to embrace the idea of the answer, it depends. Right? As long as you can finish the friggin' sentence.
Yes, with something.
Right? Depends on what. Right?
What they found will determine whether they'll be back the next year. For instance, they may not wait. If they find that you've mishandled a particular treatment of a particular deduction or something in a particular year, if there's any other open years, they'll go open those right now, because they'll figure, well, what you did here, you did somewhere else. And if they can open those years during that audit, that's what they'll do.
Even in my very small circumstance, there was a category that I wanted them to look at. I've got the decision by the agent who was working on it, and then I said, I think I'd roll the dice a little, because there were similar things I was concerned about in the last previous 2 years. Mm-hmm. I said, so could I get you to look and bless these last couple of years as well? And much to my surprise, they did. Mm-hmm. So I slept a lot better then.
You bet.
Yeah. So, Bill, I want to get your thoughts on that because we want to go back to myth busting a bit, too. And Mitch put into play, I think you referenced the president, didn't you? Or a presidential candidate. Is
not
that right?
Only somebody who has aspirations of being the president.
Well, you used the word the president, right?
Right.
Which makes me think about elections and the vows of politicians. And I wanted to get to the issue, a couple of issues, actually. One is this idea of vows to abolish the IRS.
It would seem that everybody's afraid of it enough that that would resonate with everybody across parties. So is that likely, Bill?
It's ridiculous.
Now, how do you really feel about it?
The only thing, it's very much like any of the other inflammatory, take your political stance and then figure out what can be said that's inflammatory that will get people excited and then simply say that. And if you say it, a certain number of people will vote for you because you say it. What I would say about it is that let's just assume you did that if you abolished the IRS. It's certainly my belief based on everything I've seen that there will be two or worse yet, three agencies either created or that will spring forward to replace that function.
So this mythical savings by eliminating the IRS that immediately imbues to the benefit of the people is not going to happen.
It's a pipe dream. And the thing about this is that if you want to really make changes in the IRS, change the tax code. Change how it works, and you will change the functions that the IRS needs to carry out. A simplified tax code would do that.
So that's the next one. You were going to talk flat tax.
Well, yeah, it is. And right? I don't know if that falls under the category necessarily of myth-busting or not, but the idea of a flat tax. First, Bill, what is a flat tax?
Depending on who you talk to, it has a lot of different – the idea is such that basically there's a type of tax that everyone pays. No one doesn't pay tax. Everybody pays some tax, and there's some sort of – leveling where a person pays, X amount, and you're done, and it's simple. I would say, based on spending a ridiculous amount of time looking at the Internal Revenue Code, that before I would even want to go there in terms of actually trying to do that, if you just wanted to make a system that was a lot flatter than it is now, if you were to abolish capital gains, you would be a lot closer to that because the capital gains tax, which is a favorable tax rate, creates a vast amount of complexity in the Internal Revenue Code, and it is a apple which big businesses, large high-dollar income taxpayers seek to get because you pay significantly less tax if you can get typically into that range. Well, if you got rid of that, you'd get rid of a ton of complexity in the Internal Revenue Code, a ton of enforcement action and or need to audit things and see how things were handled because you don't have these two radically different taxes, one which can be up to a third of what you make and the other might be as low as, 10%.
Isn't it ironic that some of those who have historically proposed and been proponents of a flat tax are individuals you might presume are being supported by those who benefit by capital gains? So how does that juxtaposition happen? Mainly because I think you think it's never going to happen.
Well, politics makes strange bedfellows, and taxation, as I say, doesn't engender particularly rational thought. But I think the flat tax is an idea. To make that work, you have to remember that if you just have this idea, for instance, that, well, everyone will pay 10%, that's a disaster for lower and middle income people because 10% of their income is a very serious number to them. It's not a serious number for someone whose income is $800 million a year.
And so once you start having exceptions that you're only going to have that for those who make over X, then you're right back down the path of a complicated system.
The flat tax, I think, to do it correctly is going to take a lot of adjustment over time. I don't think it's a pipe dream. I think it could be done, but I think we should work towards it. It's one of those things, it's like if you got into a tub of water that was very, very hot at the beginning, it would be uncomfortable. It's something we would have to actually move towards. And reducing and or abolishing capital gains and doing that carefully would be a first step towards getting towards that. The Internal Revenue Code is incredibly complicated because of provisions that have had to be put in there to try to prevent people from getting capital gains when they shouldn't. And they're throughout the code that's in there.
Yeah,
and
so if you did a word count, God forbid, of the tax code, capital gains and the devotion to reaching the issue of capital gains is very voluminous.
It's a major complicating factor.
And there's overlap and implications and crossover with other tax statutes.
Absolutely.
Well, Stephen, we have about a minute before our break, but I want to make sure that when we come back from this break, we talk about the difference between civil penalties and criminal penalties, because I think that's another, you know, in our theme of myth busting. You know, I think there's this fear that they're the IRS police.
It's Elliot Ness or nothing.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
no, that's a good topic. That and the venue and the jurisdiction, too. Let's also talk about tax court. What is tax court? How do you find your way into tax court?
Yeah, who represents you there and things of that nature. So, Bill, we got about 30 seconds before we hit this break. There are real distinctions between civil penalties, which are just you're going to pay money to fix a problem, but there are criminal penalties in which you can go to jail over tax issues, correct?
That is correct.
So that's what we're going to come back to after the break.
Think about that over the break, Bill. When we come back, we'll pick up civil versus criminal penalties within tax law. You're listening to Wagner and Winnick on the Law on the BizTalk Radio Network. And our in-studio guest today is attorney Bill Purdy. We'll be right back after this break.
For decades, the students at Monterey College of Law have graduated and gone on to pass the bar and become successful attorneys. However, not everyone goes to Monterey College of Law to become an attorney. I'm Wendy Law Revere, Dean of Admissions at Monterey College of Law. We also offer students our two-year Master of Legal Studies degree, which can enhance their chosen careers, like Monterey College of Law graduate Paul Bieber.
I was working as a deputy coroner for San Mateo County as a death scene investigator, and I wanted a better idea of the legal issues that were involved in forensic investigations. Everything about Monterey College of Law was accommodating to the course of study I was trying to find. I graduated from Monterey College of Law with no outstanding debt. I'm working as an investigator for the San Mateo County Private Defender's Office performing indigent defense investigations.
For more information, call us today at 582-4000. That's 582-4000. Or visit us online at montereylaw.edu. That's montereylaw.edu. Making a change in career is a serious decision that affects both you and your family. You have many questions that need to be answered before you can make a commitment. I'm Wendy Law Revere, Dean of Admissions at Monterey College of Law. Have you ever dreamed of being a lawyer? We at Monterey College of Law can help make that dream come true, and it's affordable. But don't take it from me. Hear what recent graduate Dan Cullum says.
Before I was entering law school, I was an airline pilot. After I retired, I decided that I would go to law school. Monterey College of Law was the avenue to fulfill that desire. I loved Monterey College of Law. It was small classes. The professors were very helpful, personal. You could talk to them. Tuition is not exorbitant at Monterey College of Law, which is the opposite of the way it is at other places. It's affordable. They have a program at Monterey College of Law that lets you pay as you go, so it's financially possible.
There's never been a better time to become a lawyer. Call us today at 582-4000 or visit us online at montereylaw.edu.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Wagner and Winnick on the Law. If you are just joining us, our topic today has been taxes, and we're going to round out this hour by talking about civil versus criminal penalties. Our in-studio guest is Attorney Bill Purdy. Bill, let's pick it up with this idea of civil versus criminal penalties and some of the terms. Tax evasion, money laundering, tax shelters.
The first thing I want to tell anyone who can hear this, no matter where you are, if you're being audited, if you've gotten a notice from the IRS saying we think you owe more money, take a deep breath. The vast majority of the interactions of everyday people by the millions with the IRS are civil. They are not criminal. If you are audited and they find that you owe taxes, they do not generally proceed against you criminally. It is, in my 30 years, I've only had three of them where they even thought about it. All three of them, they didn't for various reasons, but it is not common. You have to work at it to end up in a criminal matter with the Internal Revenue Service.
Okay, so tax evasion would fit the definition of a crime.
And let me give you an example. Tax evasion is not, for instance, failing to pay the amount that you should or not filing your tax returns is generally not. I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of people come to me and say, I haven't filed a tax return in 4 or 5 years, 6 years. I had one for 20 years. We went back and we filed the tax returns. IRS's unwritten policy is if you get to us before we get to you and you file your tax returns and you pay your taxes, you're not going to have a problem.
See, that's going back to that preemptive move. Say that again, because I think that's actually the message that's almost the biggest piece here. So say that again.
I have a really hard time convincing my clients, but you have clients who haven't filed their tax returns, get to a professional. We'll get you filed. We'll get them in. We'll start. If you can pay them in full, you pay them. If you can't, you get on a payment plan, and you'll be fine.
The IRS, but you get to them before they get to you, and you have much better
leverage. It is
leverage.
An unwritten policy. The IRS generally does not proceed, and in my experience, I have never had one where we have filed delinquent returns, and the IRS has done that. They have the policy is to get you to file. If they proceed criminally against people who hadn't filed for whatever reason, who then filed, you're going to have people terrified to file. So this is the first thing you need to understand. Now, secondly, as far as the criminal things go, to be criminal, to be tax evasion, you have to be systematically hiding your income with the intent not to pay tax on it and in criminally intending to not do
and
that.
And, Bill, you'll like this. As a law professor, Mitch and I have talked about this many times. It comes up a lot. We talk about mental state.
Intent.
Mens rea, right, and intent. A mistake is not necessarily going to rise to the level of a criminal act.
Not at all. And the other thing you need to know about it is whether it is – actually, the civil aspects of taxes can be more horrendous in this area. There is a general statute of limitations for criminal tax matters. I believe it's 6 years. It may have changed, but there's a limit.
Wider net in the civil.
In the civil area, if you fail to include income on your tax return deliberately, they have an unlimited amount of time to go back and find that and assess taxes, interest, and penalties. In the civil arena, what you're looking at if you're audited is very typically the payment of the tax that you owe, interest on that tax, and penalties if applicable for not doing what you should have done. And this is what the vast majority of people face. They do not face it. If you owe taxes and you haven't been able to pay them, you are not going to be arrested by the IRS for this. This is not how they proceed.
They will actually give you time to pay it out over time, because ultimately they would rather you remain employed and pay it off in time than put you into bankruptcy.
The goal of the IRS is to assist in the raising of revenue. It is not to jail people. And I will tell you this, no one ever believes it when I say it. I remember of what they call civic-minded felons, who were people that were engaged in activities that may not have risen to the levels of societal acceptance, who wanted nevertheless to pay the taxes. And that can be done. It can be done in what I call the innocuous label, where you simply label their source of income in something that is accurate but not overly descriptive. And farming income would be and with no deduction, I would like to point out, because there are none allowed for those particular farming activities, you would want, in those cases, the IRS is interested in the collection of revenue. And there are some practitioners under some circumstances who will have clients file a report of the amount and take the Fifth Amendment on the tax return. I've never done that, and I've never advised it. You can pay your taxes, and the IRS is interested in you paying your taxes. They want you to pay them.
How does somebody find their way into tax court, Bill?
This is an important thing. It relates to those notices you're getting.
All those certified letters that are
certified, right? And it says, we think you owe tax. And at some point you say, I don't owe this tax. And you have an opportunity to tell them why you don't think so. But at some point you will get a letter that says, we think you owe this tax. We propose to assess this tax. And if you do not file a petition in the United States tax court, we will go ahead and assess the tax and begin collecting.
And it's actually a federal court created by the Constitution.
That's correct. It is a court separate from other courts. And the important thing is this letter, which is known in the trade as a 90-day letter, gives you this period of time. Not it's 90 days. You have to get that petition. If you do, then you can contest what they have proposed without paying the tax first.
Critical distinction, because if you pay in one contest, you're going to be in district court.
You generally, the other route is to allow them to go ahead and assess the tax, and after they've assessed it, you have to go ahead and pay it and then go to the United States District Court and sue for a refund.
And no doubt that's as much a tactical issue as anything else.
It's very much for the various practitioners in that area, which I am not one. They will and decide which way they want to go, depending on tactics that involve the tax involved in the facts.
Well, thank you, Bill. This has been great. I think you've given us and our listeners a number of lessons that I think is really important to take to heart. Number one, open the envelopes. Don't avoid them. It can be fixed. It can be dealt with, but avoiding it, and there's no scenario in which that will get better.
Just act early.
Act early, act affirmatively, contact the IRS.
Moves will help you.
And there's one of the cases where, and you should get help. You should get professional help. This is not something where you should wander through on your own.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill, for joining us. We hope you'll have
fun again.
Thank
you very much.
Well, you've listened to another hour of Wagner and Winnick on the Law. We certainly hope this has been informative and helpful. A reminder that you can hear an archive of this show at wagnerandwinnick.com. biztalkradio.com, and soon on voiceamerica.com. Until next week, please remember, if you don't know the law, know a lawyer.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.